This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إله الأولين والآخرين. وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله المصطفى الأمين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد, welcome to another episode of our Tafsir program, page by page, and inshallah ta'ala today we are on page number 97, which is in Surah An-Nisa, the fifth juz of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this verse that we're going to begin with today, which is verse 114, Allah Azza wa Jal says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم لا خير في كثير من نجواهم إلا من أمر بصدقة أو معروف أو إصلاح بين الناس ومن يفعل ذلك ابتغاء مرضات الله فسوف نؤتيه أجرا عظيما. Allah Azza wa Jal says, there is no good in most of their secret talk, only in commanding charity or good or reconciliation between people. To anyone who does these things seeking the pleasure of Allah, we shall give a rich reward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here speaks about the reality that most of us are familiar with, and that is that in most people's private gatherings, a najwa is when they sit together with one another privately indoors, in those gatherings that they have with others, the vast majority of the conversation and the speech that takes place is of little to no benefit. Not only is it of little to no benefit, but in some cases and sometimes it is actually speech that is harmful or speech that is haram, speech that Allah Azza wa Jalla has forbidden. How often do we see people gathering together and they're backbiting, or gathering together and they're spreading rumors, or gathering together and they're lying or they're cheating or they're doing things which Allah Azza wa Jalla has forbidden? And that often happens especially when you don't have a purpose, or you're just going to spend time together, not really necessarily doing something which is productive or something which is good. Now, no doubt, there are times when you can sit with people and you can relax, you can chill, you can have a conversation, as is established that the Prophet ﷺ would sit with the companions and the companions would speak about the olden days of pre-Islam, of Jahiliyyah. And they would share their stories and they would share their experiences, and sometimes they would laugh and joke about these things. But that has a purpose. It's something which is done from time to time in order to give people a break, in order to let them let off some steam. That's something which is fine and permissible. But here Allah Azza wa Jalla is speaking about the vast majority of gatherings where it becomes the norm and it becomes the usual aspect of those gatherings, that when people come together, they're going to backbite, they're going to speak about others, they're going to ridicule others, they're going to look down upon others, they're going to mock others. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, there is no good in the vast majority of this, unless those people order something which is sadaqah. They give the command to give some charity. And charity here is both with the specific meaning and the more generic meaning. The specific meaning is the specific type of charity, which is the monetary type of charity. You're asking someone to help support someone. There's an orphan in the community. There's a widow. There's someone elderly. They need some financial support. There's the poor. There's the needy. There's a tragic event that's taking place somewhere in the world, a natural disaster. People are in need. People are going through a difficult time. And so you're commanding charity. That's a specific meaning. But the wider meaning of some of the scholars of tafsir mentioned also can be applicable here. And that is that every good deed is a type of sadaqah, as the Prophet told us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's why in the hadith of Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to say subhanallah is sadaqah, alhamdulillah is sadaqah, la ilaha illallah, to say that it is sadaqah, to command the good is sadaqah, to forbid the evil is sadaqah, and so on and so forth. And so if you're spreading knowledge, you're reminding people of Allah Azza wa Jal, you take a verse of the Quran that you just give a few benefits from, and that's something which is good. That the majlis that you have, or the sittings and gatherings that you have, you should leave with some type of benefit or some type of reminder of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if it is very short. And I remember with a number of our teachers that they would do this, even if we're gathering over food, we're having dinner together, just a couple of minutes at the beginning, they would just choose a verse of the Quran, or maybe at the end, choose a verse of the Quran or a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or something that they read that day that they came across, a benefit, a statement of a scholar, a story that they read, and it just has something that you are at least reminded of Allah azza wa jal concerning. And that's because the believer, this is how they should be geared. It is something that they should be geared towards the most of their time. A lot of their time should be spent in the remembrance of Allah azza wa jal. Rather than, especially if it is your common practice to meet with people often and to go out with them often and to sit with them often and to eat with them often, but what you're always doing is dunya, 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 or worse, because at least if it's about the dunya, it may just be mubah, permissible. You're not earning good deeds, but you're not necessarily sinning. At least that's better than those people who spend their time sinning because they are engaged in some type of haram speech or something which is harmful. So Allah Azza wa Jalla says that the vast majority of those gatherings there's no good in. Even if you're not doing haram, you're not benefiting either. So there's not necessarily any benefit that you've taken. Unless you command which is something which is charity, or ma'ruf, or anything which is good. Anything which is good, and that includes all forms and all types of good. So you're looking at something that will benefit others, help others, advise others. That is something which is good. Or the third thing that Allah Azza wa Jalla notes here or specifies here, is islah bayn an-nas, reconciliation between people. You know that in your family, in your community, amongst your friends, there are two people who aren't getting along. For one reason or another, they've broken their ties and their relationship has been severed or it has been fractured. So to reconcile between those two people, that is something which is beloved in this religion. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages this in a number of places in the Quran. Allah azza wa jal says, for example, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ. Allah Azza wa Jal says that indeed the believers are all brothers. So reconcile between your brothers. And that's because it is natural between a husband and a wife, between family members, between close friends, relatives, business partners, and just brothers, Muslims, one to another, that sometimes they have disputes, misunderstandings, sometimes there's problems between one or the other. The Sharia and the religion tells us that, number one, the two of them should try to reconcile amongst themselves. They shouldn't hold that grudge to heart longer than is necessary. And they should forgive and they should pardon and they should find a way to reconcile. As the Prophet told us sallallahu alayhi wasallam about the hadith in which Allah Azza wa Jal causes the actions to be raised, or the actions of a person are raised on Mondays and Thursdays. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the actions are raised in the hadith every day in the morning and the evening at the times of Fajr and Asr. And the hadith goes on to say that Allah Azza wa Jal says that all of those actions are raised except for the actions of the two people who have a dispute amongst themselves, the two Muslims. And Allah Azza wa Jal says, as for their actions, leave them be. They are suspended until they reconcile amongst themselves. So that's one aspect, that they should actively make an effort to reconcile. And at the same time, we are told that we should work towards reconciling between them. If you have a role that you can play, you're someone who has the ear of both of those people, you're someone who can influence them in a good way, then that is also something which is a good deed. And that is what Allah Azza wa Jalla says, that whosoever does this seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be given a great reward. And that is because much of the Sharia is geared towards that which is beneficial towards others. Many of these actions, sadaqah, any type of charitable deed, or rather charitable deeds, are when you help others. Ma'roof, doing good towards others. Islah, reconciling between others. So you are actually serving other people, helping other people, coming to the aid of others. And that is something which is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In verse 115, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُصْلِهِ جَهَنَّمْ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. If anyone opposes the messenger after guidance has been made clear to him and follows a path other than that of the believers, we shall leave him on his chosen path, we shall burn him in hell, and what an evil destination. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here gives a very stark and plain warning. And that is a warning towards those who oppose the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, meaning his sunnah, his sharia, his commandments, his guidance. Whoever knows that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded something or prohibited something, he legislated something, and then he opposes that knowingly and willingly. And that is what Allah Azza wa Jalla says, مِن بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى, after clear guidance has come to him. So he knows the Sharia, he knows the halal from the haram, he knows what was commanded and what was forbidden, and yet he chooses to follow a path other than that. And he follows the path other than the path of the believers. Because the believers at the time of the Prophet ﷺ were the companions, and they were upon that path. And then those believers who came after them in the next generation from the righteous people were on that same path. And then their followers and their followers every single generation. As the Prophet told us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, خَيْرُ النَّاسِ قَرْنِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ. The best of people is my generation, then those who follow them, and then those who follow them. And that is the path of the believers. The believers at that time were united upon Tawheed, united upon following the Sunnah. There were very few innovations that crept in amongst them. Yes, there were groups amongst them that had innovations and problems, but they were the minority fringe groups. The majority were firm upon the way of the Quran and the Sunnah and the way of guidance. So if you ignore their path and you choose the path other than that path, you ignore or you oppose the teachings and the Sharia of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah Azza wa Jalla says that we will leave you to take the path that you have chosen. And you will have the punishment that Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions here, and that is Jahannam, and what an evil destination. And no doubt that is referring therefore to that particular aspect, to number one primarily, the disbelievers, because they fully oppose the path of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they fully oppose the path of the believers. But even those who amongst the believers choose a different path, and they engage in innovation, they engage in certain acts which may be kufr and shirk and so on, they are also under the threat of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In verse 116, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, highlighting this issue of tawheed and shirk, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ وَمَن يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا بَعِيدًا. Allah does not forgive the worship of others besides Him, though He does forgive whoever He wills for lesser sins. For whoever does this has gone far, far astray. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this verse, and it is a similar verse to the one that we mentioned a few episodes ago, and that is that Allah Azza wa Jalla establishes this principle that is one of the major principles of our religion in terms of who will have salvation ultimately and who will stay in the punishment of the hellfire for eternity. The criteria, if you like, the benchmark that differentiates between the people is the issue of tawheed and shirk. Anyone who dies upon tawheed and the oneness of the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal will ultimately always go to Jannah. Even if they have sinned and they've committed major sins and Allah Azza wa Jal chooses to punish them for those major sins for a time that is determined by Allah Azza wa Jal alone, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ultimately, once they have been cleansed from their sins, they will be removed and extracted from the hellfire and they will enter into Jannah. Whereas the disbeliever who dies upon other than tawheed, he dies upon shirk, that person can never enter into Jannah. Even if they did much good in terms of what they did in this life, they were generous and they were charitable and they were good and they were kind and so on, those things that they did, Allah Azza wa Jal gives to them their reward in this life. As a result of the good that they did, Allah gives them blessings. Allah opens or expands for them their lifespan and so on and so forth. Allah gives to them their blessings in this life. Allah doesn't oppress them. They're given that good, but it is the good of this life. But as for the ultimate reward, which is the reward of the next life and the hereafter, that is something which isn't given to them. That is the principle that Allah Azza wa Jal mentions here. Allah never forgives shirk. It is the one sin that Allah has said He will never ever forgive. وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَٰلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Anything below shirk, less than shirk, meaning once you have taken tawheed and believed in the oneness of Allah Azza wa Jal, then every other sin He may forgive to whomsoever He wills. It is up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no doubt, as we know, as we mentioned before, from the other texts of the Quran and the Sunnah, we know that if a person repents sincerely, then Allah has promised to forgive them. So this is speaking here about those people who don't repent to Allah Azza wa Jal, they don't make tawbah, they don't turn to Allah Azza wa Jal seeking forgiveness, and they die upon those sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may choose to punish them if He wills, or if He knows the true state of their heart or something like this, the sincerity or their situation, Allah may choose to forgive them from His mercy subhanahu wa ta'ala and not punish them at all. That is at the discretion of our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the principle that Allah azza wa jal states here is not something which is discretionary, because Allah has made it the law for Himself that Allah will not forgive the people of shirk. Allah only forgives the people of tawheed, even if those people who committed shirk, as we know, were close relatives of the messengers and the prophets of Allah alayhi salatu wassalam, whether it's the father of Ibrahim or the son of Nuh or the wife of Lut or the uncle of our messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam wa alayhi salam. Allah azza wa jal will not forgive those people. And that is the principle that Allah azza wa jal mentions here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says in the following verse 117, إِن يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ إِلَّا إِنَاثًا وَإِن يَدْعُونَ إِلَّا شَيْطَانًا مَرِيدًا. In his place the idolaters invoke only females and shaitan, the rebel. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse speaks about the reality of shirk then, after mentioning in the previous verse that principle that Allah Azza wa Jalla will not forgive the sin of shirk. Here Allah Azza wa Jalla says, what is the reality of shirk? Amongst the polytheists and amongst the people of Quraysh, their shirk was essentially calling out to their idols, many of them to whom they gave female names. So they would give to them female names, and that's why Allah Azza wa Jalla says they only invoke females. So the names that they would often have, Al-Lat, Al-Uzza, Manat, many of the names of their females took the female form. And that is why Allah Azza wa Jal says this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this because amongst the Arabs in their culture, they acknowledged, or it was their firm belief, that females are lesser than males. And that's why we know that amongst the Arabs, there were from them those who used to bury their daughters alive, because they felt that they were lesser. And despite them feeling this for themselves, in their own culture, in their own society, when it came to their own families and their own situation, but when it came to ascribing to Allah Azza wa Jal partners, they were more than happy to ascribe females. So they don't want them for themselves. They don't think that they're honorable for themselves. They don't think that they're worthy for themselves. But when it comes to Allah Azza wa Jal, they think that they are more than worthy for Him. And they would give to them female names. And that's why Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَإِنْ يَدْعُونَ إِلَّا شَيْطَانًا مَرِيدًا. But the reality is that they're only calling upon shaitan, because shaitan is the one that has made this appealing to them. He's the one who has come and beautified this for them, that they would think that these idols are equals to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or intermediaries between them and Allah azza wa jal, that they have the properties of divinity, or some of the powers of the divine, that they should worship them besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though they themselves acknowledged and would know that they can't speak these idols, they can't address them, they can't move, they can't respond, they can't physically come and protect you, they can't physically come and give you good or take evil away from you. They acknowledge this because they're statues, they're just standing there, and they can't even defend themselves, as Allah Azza wa Jal explains to us in the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that in reality, anyone that worships other than Allah is only following a path of shaitan. Shaitan has opened up this door for them. Whether that be worship in the form of idols besides Allah, or worship of prophets besides Allah, or worship of nature besides Allah, or worship of animals or whatever it may be besides Allah Azza wa Jal, these are all paths that shaitan has opened for them. And that's why in reality, they only call upon shaitan. Because none of those things can respond. None of them can answer. None of them can defend or help you or harm you. None of them can do anything to benefit you or harm you. But rather it is shaitan that they call upon, and shaitan cannot respond. Shaitan himself, even if he hears them, will not respond, because he wants their misguidance as opposed to them coming to the path of tawheed and coming towards Allah Azza wa Jal. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse 118, لَعَنَهُ اللَّهُ وَقَالَ لَأَتَّخِذَنَّ مِنْ عِبَادِكَ نَصِيبًا مَفْرُوضًا. Allah has cursed shaitan, and he said, meaning shaitan, I will certainly take my due share of your servants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala curses him, meaning that this one that they're following through all of these paths of shirk is the one that Allah azza wa jal has removed from his mercy. So if he is far removed from the mercy of Allah azza wa jal, then what good and mercy can he bring towards the others? So when Allah Azza wa Jal commanded Iblis to prostrate to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, and he refused to do so, he asked Allah Azza wa Jal for the ability or the permission to live until Yawm al-Qiyamah, so that he may go and be a test for people and seek to misguide them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, go. And he said, I will misguide all of them except your sincere slaves. And that's why he knows that he can't misguide the people of Tawheed, the people who love Allah Azza wa Jal sincerely through his worship, the people who follow his messengers and prophets. Those people he cannot harm, because Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who is giving them his divine aid and his divine protection. But as for others who don't know the reality of Allah Azza wa Jal, who seek to remain ignorant about Allah Azza wa Jal, they don't want to learn, they don't want to believe, they don't want to accept, those are the people that are susceptible to his ways. And shaitan finds different ways for each one of them. All of them. Some of them worship other gods, some of them worship no god, some of them believe in no god. But all of them are following different ways of the same path, different paths that lead to the same destination. And that is the destination that shaitan wants for them, and that is the hellfire that he will be with them in. He doesn't want to be alone there. He wants all of them to join in with him. And that's why he says, لَأَتَّخِذَنَّ مِنْ عِبَادِكَ نَصِيبًا مَفْرُوضًا. I will take my due share from your servants, meaning from the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why we know, as Allah Azza wa Jal says, that the majority of people, because of the temptations of shaitan and the whisperings of shaitan, are led astray by him. And so the believer is someone who should be thankful to Allah Azza wa Jal that is able to know and be aware of these traps of shaitan and what shaitan is trying to do in terms of his tricks. In verse 119, Allah Azza wa Jal mentions some of these traps, some of these tricks of shaitan. وَلَأُضِلَّنَّهُمْ وَلَأُمَنِّيَنَّهُمْ وَلَأَمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلَيُبَتِّكُنَّ آذَانَ الْأَنْعَامِ وَلَأَمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ يَتَّخِذِ الشَّيْطَانَ وَلِيًّا مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ خَسِرَ خُسْرَانًا مُبِينًا. He said, I will mislead them and incite vain desires in them. I will command them to slit the ears of their cattle, and I will command them to tamper with Allah's creation. Whoever chooses shaitan as a patron instead of Allah is utterly ruined. What does shaitan do? He made this promise. He said that I will misguide them from the straight path, find any and every single way to take them away from the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, to make them heedless of Allah, neglectful of Allah. I will use everything in my power from all of the temptations of the dunya, be that money, be that fame, be that children and family, be that career and job, be that for some other people, certain interests and hobbies like sports and so on. Whatever that person is susceptible to, I will use that means in order to take them away from Allah Azza wa Jal. وَلَأُمَنِّيَنَّهُمْ. And I will incite within them desires. I will give to them false promises that actually what you're doing is fine. It's okay. It's good. You're a nice person. Whatever it may be, he will give to them these false desires, these false promises, in order to continue to make themselves feel good about what they're doing, or in order to cloud their judgment so that they can't realize that actually they're not spiritually fulfilled. They're not happy in their hearts. And so he comes and he covers that feeling that they feel and that they acknowledge, and he covers it with all of these other temptations that instead they will busy themselves in. And some of those people then realize and they look for the truth, and other people remain within that sense of heedlessness and neglect. وَلَأَمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلَيُبَتِّكُنَّ أَذَانَ الْأَنْعَامِ. And I will command them to slit the ears of their cattle, because this is what the Arabs and the Quraysh would do. They would use this as a means of doing certain things that they would then use in their practices of shirk. They would use their cattle and their animals, and they would do certain things, or they would specify certain ones and say, these cannot be touched, these cannot be slaughtered, these cannot be used to work the fields and so on, as Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions elsewhere in the Quran. And they would do this as a way of, or as one of their practices of shirk, as something which they considered to be an omen or a way of showing their favor towards their gods. This is one of the other ways that he has, one of his other tricks. وَلَأَمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ. And I will command them so that they change the creation of Allah. Change physically their own creation. All of this is to do with them not being pleased with Allah Azza wa Jal, not being pleased with Allah's decree, not being pleased with Allah's commands. And so they begin to change their creation. As the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as we know, he he cursed a number of people. And from those people who are those who changed certain aspects of their appearance, shaved their eyebrows in certain ways, split their teeth in certain ways, did certain things that they would do, the shaitan had made beauty or beautified for them, and that the sharia has forbidden. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَمَن يَتَّخِذِ الشَّيْطَانَ وَلِيًّا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ, whoever takes shaitan as a wali, as a helper or patron other than Allah, then that is the person who has sincerely lost. Allah Azza wa Jalla in verse 120 says that the reality of all of these things that shaitan are doing, is doing, all of these promises and all of these desires, all of them are false and vain. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, يَعِدُهُمْ وَيُمَنِّيهِمْ وَمَا يَعِدُهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا. He makes them promises and raises false hopes, but shaitan's promises are nothing but delusion. This is what shaitan does. He gives people promises. You're upon good. There's no such thing as an afterlife. There's no such thing as resurrection. Don't worry about this. Don't worry about, and even Muslims, he does this with. When a person is sinning and is neglectful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will come and he will say to them, don't worry, you can make tawbah when you're older. Let enjoy life for now. When you're older and there's not much left to do, then pray, then make hajj, then fast, then give zakah. And this is essentially what he does to people. Gives them these false hopes, these false promises. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, all of them are false. All of them are vain. And the person who doesn't then recognize this, doesn't turn back to Allah Azza wa Jalla, doesn't worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will recognize the falsehood of them when they pass away, when they die, or on the day of judgment. And the best of those people, those whom Allah has favored, are those who recognize this and see this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the final verse that we'll cover today, أُولَٰئِكَ مَأْوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمُ وَلَا يَجِدُونَ عَنْهَا مَحِيصًا. Such people will have hellfire for their home and they will find no escape from it. Meaning those people who follow the path of shaitan, follow his tricks and his desires, and that's all they do. They essentially immerse themselves in all of the desires that shaitan makes appealing to them. Neglectful of Allah, not worshipping Allah, not knowing that Allah Azza wa Jalla alone is worthy of worship and that he created us for that very purpose. And instead they spend their life in the dunya immersed in its desires. Those are the people that have chosen to follow the path of shaitan, have taken shaitan as their wali, and as a result Allah Azza wa Jalla will punish them on Yawm al-Qiyamah by entering them into the hellfire, in which they will remain forever with no escape. May Allah Azza wa Jalla save us and our families, our parents and our children from that, and all of the Muslims. Barakallahu feekum. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.